It's 4 o'clock, 4:03, actually. The sun is out, but the temperature is not. It's time for Sports Talk Live, and I'm just going to go ahead and join this argument already in progress.
All right. We got a good laugh going. We got an argument going today.
Absolutely.
Ronnie is wearing the crimson today.
That's right. Why shouldn't I? It's Christmas season.
Yeah, I'm wearing
Santa Claus
blue and orange.
Santa Claus came last Saturday, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And if you're in Alabama, and if he didn't, the old Grinch was.
Yeah.
Let me just say this.
I got your microphones backwards, so I'm going to just fix that real quick. There we go there and put this over here. There you go. Now you're right.
Do we need to swap seats?
No, I think you're good.
Was our voices coming in backward?
Like that.
Pig Latin.
One of you was really loud.
Ronnie, you will be proud of me.
I'm always proud of you.
But you're really going to be proud of me.
Because you defended something about Alabama, I bet you.
No. You're even going to be prouder than that.
Oh, my
Because
goodness.
I've done something you probably
You gave
didn't
yourself
think.
A shot.
Yeah, I did do that. But
that's not it.
It's better than that.
It was better than that?
Yeah, well, not in the long run.
Okay, I give up.
For entertainment purposes only.
Okay. Why should I have not known that?
I done really well last Saturday. I mean, really,
really
well.
Really well.
And because of that.
4 digits instead of 3 this time?
Yeah. And because of that.
Because of that, Jason decided to double the stakes for everybody.
No. I decided I would go ahead and withdraw some of that so that at the end of the year, no matter what happens now, I am up 4 times over what I started. If everything goes south.
That's a smart move because there's a lot of bowl games, aren't
there?
Hey,
and get this. Top this, husbands. Wives, listen to this. I told my wife last night when that gets in the account, I'm giving it to her and letting her do whatever she wants to with it. She can shop with it. She can put it in the bank. She can do whatever she wants to with it because I figure I have the fun. And, you know, she don't say anything about the money I use for that.
She don't know.
Yeah, she does.
Oh.
I don't hide that from her.
Oh, okay.
But.
You gave her all of it?
I'm giving her every penny of it. Every penny that I'm withdrawing this time. And
shot in the leg must have went to your brain.
Kathy is all blushing right now. I'll probably be getting a text soon.
I'll be glad when we go to a break where I can discuss this again.
Hey, today is our favorite day.
Absolutely.
4:30, is that right?
4:30.
We have Chris Andrews. No, 4:20.
4:20 with Chris.
Chris Andrews, 4:20, and then around 5, we have Dr. Dan,
That's
not
right.
Dan Williams, Dan Vosta, out of Chicago, Campus Insider. And then at 5:30, Rex Chambers be telling us how to catch some fish in cold
weather.
It would
be tough right now.
I'm telling you. I was thinking
about
to be
that.
Out there.
I know. I was thinking about that sitting there a while ago. You know, all this rain that we had. I went to Scottsboro yesterday, and Gunnersville was chocolate colored, and all the backwater. And I was thinking about that sitting out in the truck a few minutes ago. I said, boy, talk about fishing be tough right now.
You know,
a lot of rain, muddy water.
And the water would be muddy, Ronnie. I have never done any good
in muddy water.
I mean, I just lay the rod down and just troll and enjoy myself.
I've had very little success there, too. Hey, but maybe Rex can help us with that. You know, around 5:30. So that'll probably be the topic today because of the current weather. We had so much rain and muddy water that he can help you and help us. Maybe slow down our fishing a little bit and maybe put a fish in the boat.
You know, we had some really good jazz music come from Muddy Waters a couple of years. That was some really good stuff.
There you go.
I'm going to go back to my corner now.
We got a lot to talk about as far as the coaching carousel.
Spinning round and around, isn't
it? I'm telling you.
Still a lot of jobs available, a lot of jobs open. Some jobs are apparently promised.
I think me and you might could get a job.
I think I'm
going
to apply.
If just one of us got a job, we could split it.
Well, we're going to coattail off the other.
Yeah, we could split it and be happy ever after.
That's right. If you could have any college football job, Jason, what would it be?
Florida Gators. Yep. Just... As
no questions
before,
asked.
No, resources. The
weather.
Weather, yeah. So many bright things.
Yeah.
Florida. What about if you had, give me your top 3. 1, 2, and 3.
My top 3 jobs.
One being the job, two being if you couldn't get one. And
number one, I would agree with you. I'm going to say my top job I would want would be the fall at Florida. Number two, I'll say Alabama. Number three, and maybe flip flop those, Texas. Maybe go Florida, Texas, Alabama.
Yeah, I would probably go Florida, Texas.
I mean, there's some you. I mean, it's a coin toss, you know.
Yeah. Florida, Texas.
Definitely, those two are in my top three.
If I could handle the lifestyle, I might go to USC.
Yeah, agree.
But boy, I'd hate to live out there.
They're going to tax you to death.
Oh yeah, and I would say Alabama. I would not turn down Alabama because of the football team or because it is. But I wouldn't want to live in Tuscaloosa. Okay. I would want to move.
You could live on the lake over there.
Yeah, and that's where nice. I would so, live if I was coaching
exactly.
Alabama football.
You'd be out there where Saban is. That's pretty swanky area out there.
Hey, one more question, and you probably didn't see this, but I woke up the other night at 1:30, starving to death.
Eating a shot.
So, yeah, I went to the living room and got a snack, and right as I was in the living room.
Wait a minute. You went to the living room and got a snack? You went to the kitchen and got a snack?
But then I went to the living room.
Oh, okay. I missed that part. I thought, how did he get a snack in the living room?
Well, there might be some chips laying around.
You're out of the dog bowl or something?
Miracle on the Plains came on. If you saw that, it goes back.
Is that about Auburn?
Yeah. Okay. It goes back to Chiswick's last year and then talks about.
Is that why? Because they won a national championship? Is that why they call it Miracle on the Plains?
No, it had a little bit about that, but it was more about Chiswick and losing and then the oak tree getting poisoned. And he's got a family in there that their son dies during this time. I mean, it's a real good story.
Oh, okay. No, I haven't seen it.
And I watched that, and I have forgot where I was going with this. What was I even talking about?
I don't know. You just told me you got up at 1:30 in the morning. And
that story had a point to it, but that is a good show to watch.
If anybody gets up at 1:30 in the morning.
But it had a point to it, something we were talking about. Oh, living, where you're living.
Okay.
And at the end of it, they showed Gus Malzahn sitting at his house with his wife and his two daughters sitting out, like under a covered porch area.
Mm-hmm.
And to think this guy lived in a single-wide trailer. And where he's living now, had a big pool.
Is he upgraded a little bit?
Just a tad. I mean, you talking nice.
You think it's paid for?
You know, I don't know. At one time, Auburn was buying the houses for the coaches.
That's what I thought. That's one reason I said that.
So not only do you get the $4.5 million, you get a
free
house.
Free home out of that.
Can't beat that deal.
No, that'd be hard if you can keep the job.
Yeah, and that's not no guarantee.
That's yet to be seen.
Running, we got a few minutes. What about local? We got about 8 minutes before.
Yeah, well, there's very little locally tonight, Jason. There's only one game that I know of that's going on. As far as local basketball, and that's Cullman's going to be at Lawrence County.
Big game tomorrow night.
Coming at Lawrence County. Tomorrow night will be a different ball game. Probably everybody's going to be playing tomorrow night. Probably the biggest game, certainly within the county, will be the Cold Springs Eagles traveling to Holly Pond, I believe, and playing the Broncos. So you're potentially talking about, you know, two of the best teams, boys and girls, in the county. So if somebody wants to see some pretty good basketball, or basically the best basketball that Cullman County has to offer, tomorrow night at Holly Pond would be a good opportunity to go see a little basketball.
All right, and write this down as a prediction from me.
Yes.
On whatever today is. I'm going to go ahead and
predict. That is December 3rd.
All right, December 3rd, 2015, I predicted this.
Okay.
Cold Springs boys will be in Birmingham this year playing in the state finals.
In the finals, not just in the
finals.
Final Four,
no,
but in
the
finals.
They will be one of the final two teams.
Well, that takes all the pressure off of them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've already
it. Just go ahead and make your plans and do whatever you
need to do. Get your reservations
down
there to Sheraton and all that kind of stuff.
I think they've got a good shot at least making it, and I think when they get down there, they're going to win one. Now, whether they win it or not, I don't know. But
yeah.
I think they go to Birmingham this
probably
year
their
and
first,
win the first one. So.
Their first big challenge, and who knows, it might be their most difficult challenge, will be just getting out of their own area.
Yeah, with Tanner.
With Tanner.
Yeah.
So you know, that's yet to be seen. I don't know how good Tanner is, but I can guarantee you they are athletic, and they've been good for several years.
And their football team was pretty decent this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So expect them to have a good club again. But not much sports going on tonight. Again, Lawrence County and Cullman are playing at Lawrence County, which is basically Moulton. So best of luck to the Cullman Bearcats as they travel there. Over on 157, I guess you would say, headed north.
Yep. Saturday, it'll be Championship Saturday.
Championship Saturday.
Alabama, Florida, 3 p.m. You might want to sit down and watch that one first half because
you don't think so?
By halftime, it's not even going to be interesting. So
we're going to do predictions at the end the championship games. You don't think it'll be as close as the Auburn game?
No.
Is the spread larger?
It's up to 18 today on five dimes. So
okay.
Auburn was at 14.
Would you take the points?
14 and a half.
Would you take the points?
No, Lord, no.
No? Even at 18, you wouldn't take the points?
In fact, I took Alabama and gave up 17, so I done that early this week.
For entertainment purposes.
Yeah, for entertainment purposes.
All right.
I'm going to predict my score later, but
sure.
I don't think Florida will do enough scoring to beat anybody. So
I don't. And, you know, you got to play the game, and the score starts 0-0. We all know that. We all understand that. But I'm like you. I don't see how they could score enough points to win the ball game.
No.
Now, they're good defensively, really good defensively. I'm just saying I don't think they're going to be able to shut Alabama out. You know, Alabama's going to score some points. I just don't think Florida – I mean, Florida had scored two against Florida State. I mean, they had a safety. Right. And that was it.
And Florida State, not the defense that Alabama's got.
So. No. So, you know, maybe it may be over at halftime.
There will be a couple of what appears to be good games Saturday, though.
There sure will.
If you're not wanting to watch that, you've got Michigan State and Iowa playing.
Yeah. I tell you the one I want to watch. I want to see Clemson and North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. I will be watching that one if I've got a chance.
I think if anybody, any of the four teams that's in the playoffs right now have a chance to get beat and it not be really surprising, I think it'd be North Carolina beating Clemson. Right. Of course, Oklahoma doesn't play, so they're set. But Clemson got a chance to get beat. Certainly Iowa. You think Iowa gets beat?
Yeah.
I do. I think Michigan State's a better football team. I do too.
And I would like to see our playoff committee – to put in a request that all conferences have a championship game.
Yeah.
Let's even it up. Everybody plays a championship game.
That's right.
Let me
throw one at you. This is a huge hypothetical. Let's say Alabama gets beat. Let's say Florida beats them bad. Is there any way on the face of the earth that Florida could end up in the playoff?
I don't see any way. No, it could happen, I guess, but yeah. I don't know.
I don't have it in front of me. I don't even know what they're ranked right now.
I'm
sure it's probably 15 or below.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Even if they were to beat Alabama, I mean,
say they beat Alabama 42-3.
Yeah, yeah, just annihilated them. Do you? I still don't see it being possible. Even the one that'd be more logical would be North Carolina. If North Carolina were able to beat Clemson, you know, they would have a much greater argument to be placed in the playoff than Florida would.
Somebody making the argument for North Carolina one day this weekend or week on my way home, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, the argument against North Carolina, and you may know this, they played two
FCS schools, so, like a Jacksonville State. You know, Sam Houston, those type of schools. Which I'm not saying they aren't good programs because they are. Jacksonville State's ranked number one in the FCS.
You're not going to get the credit for
it. No, and you know, not only did you play one, but you played two.
Right.
So I don't think they have a Chinaman's chance to get in there. But you know, in my opinion, I don't care who. I don't care. And maybe this is just because I don't like Ohio State. But if all three teams got beat, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Iowa, I personally still don't think Ohio State deserves to be in there.
I don't either.
Their schedule was horrific, horrible. I don't care. Yeah, I know they've only lost one game. Well, you know, they only had two opponents they played that were ranked. That was Michigan State and Michigan. So I just don't see any way, personally, that you could put Ohio State back in the 14 playoff.
No, but I think that is hurting, or not hurting, but I think that's maybe killing the committee, yeah, because I think they really want Ohio State in there. The defending champion.
Sure.
And, the story with Alabama.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they would love to see a rematch, Alabama and Ohio
State. That's right. Let's say you ended up with a Clemson and an Iowa in the final. What's your ratings going to be with that?
Yeah, that would be painful.
You know, so.
All right, we got to take Eddie quickly, and I hate to say this, Eddie, but it is going to have to be quick because we've got a 420 call. So, hey, Eddie.
We'll put them on hold then. Are you kidding me? You cut me off for somebody else. You lost your mind.
Yeah. Hey, Eddie, before you get started on your rant, let's do this. Let's talk just for a minute, and then can you call us back at about 5 or 10 minutes till 5?
Or what rant, Chase? I
don't rant. No. Right, go ahead. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes.
Okay. Go. What you got?
How bad does Alabama beat Florida?
17. Might be closer to 15.
Oh, they won't. If it's 15, they won't cover the spread then.
You know why I say that, Jason? You remember when I think it was our national championship year, Ronnie. You may know this one. When Coach Mack brought Colorado State in with this great game plan and slowed down the game on us, and he knew what worked against that defense.
Yeah.
And I think the game was only like 17-3. That was Colorado State.
That's right. I remember that. I sure do.
Yeah. So, you know, I think Coach Mack knows how to coach against Alabama.
Yeah. I just don't know if it's going to be 17. I think it may be a little closer.
We'll see. It's going to be interesting. It may be 30. Who knows?
I hope it is 30.
They got a good defense, and you know, Auburn for a while, you know, held Alabama pretty much in check.
They did.
Hey, Eddie, call us back at about 10 minutes to 5 if you can, because I do want to talk to you about the Alabama Auburn game while I got you. So.
You got a minute and a half. Go ahead, Eddie.
All right, we got a minute and a half if you want to use it, Eddie.
I'm gonna drink a couple
of
milks in between,
though. All right, yeah, go ahead. Hey, okay. We'll talk to you in a bit then. Thanks.
Milkman's making a delivery.
Oh, yeah. All right, 4:20, time for a break. We'll be back, and boy, I couldn't time that any better.
That's exactly right.
Chris Andrews will be joining us. Chris will be telling you what to look for this weekend, and for entertainment purposes only, who to put those coins
on. That's right. And apparently we're going to be playing some kind of trivia game.
Yeah.
that was Eddie's time limit.
Oh, I see. I got you.
Stay with us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Director of the Coleman Community Band, and I would like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. The band keeps getting bigger and better. In fact, the group now numbers over 60 and really sounds terrific. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. From traditional Christmas music to new exciting arrangements, there will be something for everyone. Outstanding vocalist Josh Agnew will be featured on a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. You will not want to miss that. Again, the concert is Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. Admission is free.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's Independent Radio.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive. And you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you,
baby. I bet Chris remembers some of that music. So. All right, it's Thursday afternoon, and that can only mean one thing. Time for our good buddy Chris Andrews to join us. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you, Jason. You're in pretty good spirits considering the final score last week.
Oh, yeah.
I am,
he's had
Chris.
Time to recover.
he's had a shot or two. So
yeah, it didn't take me long to recover, Chris. Trust me, it.
Well, I think you might have had a winning bet.
That's it. Too. That helped me right through it. I jumped up when Henry scored and danced just like I would have if Auburn had won the game. So.
Well, I was dancing too.
So I hear you.
That made me feel a lot better. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, talking about the Iron Bowl, give me what your thoughts about the game. Any surprises? Anything you jumped out at you?
You know, my one surprise. And I don't know if it was Auburn's defense played better than I expected or Bama's offense wasn't quite as good as I expected. You know, I'm glad they wore him down late. And what Henry have, like 14 carries or something like that at the end?
Yeah, and, just a few.
Jeez, oh man, and they finally sprung one. But, you know, other than that, I thought Auburn's defense played exceptionally well. And like I said, I don't know whether to credit Auburn's defense or maybe have a couple of question marks about Alabama's offense.
But exactly.
I thought Auburn played them real tough, you know, and they really don't have much to be ashamed of. Of course, they got that miracle touchdown that everybody had flashback to the Georgia game a couple of years ago. So, that probably was a little bit of a deceiving part of the final score, too.
I agree. I'm like you. I thought the game was closer. The score was closer than what it probably would have been, and I give Auburn a lot of credit. I think defensively they played Bama as well as anybody has played them all year. The telltale thing that Chris, it kind of was jumping out at me was and not trying to insult Auburn fans, but just the different in the level of talent at least this year that was on the field for Alabama compared for the level of talent that was on the field for Auburn. And it was at least from my perspective, in most positions, it was, light years apart as far as just pure talent.
Well, I see where Bama has had the number one recruiting class, like what, 5 years in a row?
Yeah, at least.
One time is good. You know, they've done it 5 years in a row.
Right.
So, I mean, they figure to have.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I think we lost.
Sound like a Martian just got it.
They just flew in from Fife.
Yeah, I think Auburn probably had that rig like they did the field.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they watered down the phone line and shorted out.
Yeah. Folks, hang with us. We'll get Chris back on the line just as soon as possible. That's a long way for a phone call to go.
Yeah, so. It's amazing. It's amazing it works at all.
Reno.
That's right.
Reno, Nevada. But, close to the pawn shop. They're in Las Vegas, yeah. The Pawn Stars.
You ever been to Vegas?
I have, but I was too young at the time to enjoy Vegas.
So what happened in Vegas? Stayed in Vegas? There was nothing to tell?
There was nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, that's a sad thing.
I went out, I think I was 7th, 8th grade. Mom and Dad took a trip. We took about 3 weeks in the motorhome and traveled out west. And it was great to see, but like I said, I couldn't even drop a quarter on the slot machine.
You don't remember it either now, do you?
Yeah, I do remember it. I did sleep through a lot of it. You know how teenagers are. So. Chris, are you back with us?
I think he's just about back.
He is now.
Okay. Hey, Chris, did the Martians get you?
Something like that. I'm just sitting here, so I don't know what happened.
Go ahead.
Well, I think we were talking about how Bama had so many great recruiting classes, and you know, even having one number one recruiting class is a pretty big feather in your cap. And Saban's had, like, I think 5 in a row, if my memory serves. So he's got a ton of talent. I also thought, you know, the quarterbacking play on Auburn really all year, I think, has really held them back. And, you know, I don't know the situation. I think both guys came in with some pretty good credentials, but it certainly didn't produce on the field. So we'll see what happens in spring ball and in the bowl game. I mean, that's always a couple, what, about 14 extra practices, I get?
That's right,
and, you know, so, yeah, they need that to figure out what's going on, and I don't know if they need to go elsewhere to find a quarterback or what. But I think the quarterback play really held them back quite a bit this year.
Yeah, I agree. And, again, you're right, Bama – you know, they kind of select the people that they want, you know, whether you like it, whether you don't like it, that's kind of the way it is. So, you know, a lot of folks, you know, you're playing catch up to them just because of that. But, I think Gus has certainly got some work to do, and I like Gus, and I think he's good for Auburn. But, you know, that's beside the point. If you can't, you know, beat Alabama occasionally, you know, your time probably on the plains will be limited.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a pretty good run the last couple of years, but, you know, it's always, what have you done for me lately? So he's got to keep it up. And as I said, I think quarterback's something he definitely has to address. He's had a lot of success in the past, though, with that. I would expect him to put something together for next year.
Exactly, yep. Hey, Chris, moving on a little bit there to Championship Saturday. Currently the four teams that are, you know, they're written in stone, would you say they're in? And if not, how do you think it's going to finally shake out with the four teams in the playoff? And who is your dark horse?
Well, I think right now, let's assume Bama wins. I mean, if they lose, it would be a huge upset. But I'd say Bama and Oklahoma, they're pretty much in. I think Michigan State and Iowa, I think the winner of that game is pretty much in. You know, the other one, I personally think North Carolina has a great chance against Clemson. I bet them. I took the points. I don't know that if Carolina wins that they're in automatically. I think if they win impressively, then I think they would be in. If they win in a real sloppy game, I'm not sure they're necessarily in. And I think in that case, if Stanford were to blast Southern Cal, I think Stanford would stand a great chance of getting in. I think if Southern Cal wins that game, then I think people might start looking at Ohio State. I think there's a chance for that. And I think that's about it. So there's a couple of moving pieces. Now, of course, if Bama somehow loses, that upsets the whole apple cart. But I honestly don't see that. But, you know, listen, it's football. We've all been watching this a long, long time.
Right.
Crazy things happen on the field. So I guess it could happen.
Right.
But I seriously doubt that. So I guess right now at this point, Oklahoma, I'd say it's in for sure.
Right. I agree with that. Hey, Chris, do you think once this committee and the fourth, let's just hypothetically say that it stays Clemson, Alabama, either Michigan State, doesn't matter, or Iowa, and then Oklahoma. Do you think they leave Bama and Oklahoma at 2-3 playing in that first playoff, or would they move one of them either to 1 or to 4 so that it might be a national championship game, not the first semifinal game?
Well, if it was up to me, that's what would happen. Because I have those two. I vote in this national poll, and I actually put Oklahoma in front of Alabama this week for the first time. But I have them a half a point separate.
Right.
You know, I really think those two are playing some terrific ball. I would make Oklahoma and Alabama a pick 'em, pretty much. And I know I'm one of the few guys to say that. Most guys would have Bama the favorite. And I understand that. I mean, I'm not knocking Bama. I just think that Oklahoma, once they found that running game, which after the Texas game, and I have no idea what happened with Texas,
right.
But after that game, they have really run the ball effectively. That has opened up the field for Mayfield. You know, and I know their defense is not as good as Bama's. There's no question about that. But I think they can score points and score them quickly, score them effectively with the running game, too. I think that would be a great, great game. And I'd rather see that in the final than in the – listen, if they match up on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'll be watching. I'll have a good time watching it.
So, exactly.
That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. If Alabama is impressive and Clemson wins but it's not impressive, it wouldn't surprise me in the least that Bama goes 1, Clemson goes 2, and then it would be Alabama-Oklahoma in the championship if both win.
Yeah, and I think if you talk to most people in the know, I think right now, you know, no matter what Clemson does, I mean, if they win by 50, I guess we could reassess it.
But right.
I think most people right now know that Bama, on paper, is probably the best team. Like I said, I'm the one guy that says Oklahoma's just as good.
Right.
But, you know, Clemson, you look at them the last couple of weeks, I don't think they're playing that great a ball. You know, I think that there's a lot on Watson's shoulders. And with the running back, Gelman, he's
yes.
been kind of hurt with I'm not sure what his injury is, but he missed that one game two games ago.
Right.
And I think, you know, I really love Gene Chizik. We've talked about him on this show. He's going to put a lot of pressure on Watson mentally as well as physically if he has to carry the load on offense, not only throwing the ball but running the ball as well. And, I mean, this game figures come down in the fourth quarter, and if your quarterback's been hit a couple of times and you need him to make a big play in the fourth quarter, he might not have it all the way in him to do that. And if I were Gene Chizik, that's what I would do. And, listen, I don't need to tell Chizik about defense.
Right.
He knows all about it. And I think he's going to have a pretty good game plan to try to stop Watson and Clemson.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and like we talked about earlier, it's all about momentum and who's playing well right now. And I agree with you. I don't see that it's Clemson. You know, they struggle. They beat South Carolina by 5, and South Carolina is a pretty bad football team.
Yeah. 2 weeks before that, they struggled against Syracuse.
Absolutely.
Their coach. You know, so, I mean, I don't think they're playing great football right now.
Right. Hey, talking about let's move. Hey, Chris, let's talk a little bit about the coaching carousel, all that's going on with that. A lot of jobs open out there. Some, they say, may be filled. We don't know anything, you know, specific on any jobs yet. But of those jobs out there, you know, in your opinion, what's the best job out there and who's the best fit for that job?
Well, I got to say, I really like the Virginia Tech hire of Justin Fuente. I've had my eye on this guy for a while. I think he's done a terrific job. And then he kept a lot of the staff that was already there with Frank Beamer. I've always had a little spot in my heart for Virginia Tech. I like the way they do business. So I really like that hire. I think that guy's done a good job at Memphis, and I think he'll do well at Virginia Tech. Now, the Miami job, I've said from the beginning, I can't tell if this is a real good job or not. I honestly don't know.
Right.
You know, the camp, they play ball, like, off campus. You know, they had that great run of winning a lot of home games, like in the 80s and 90s. You know, but what people overlook, they won a lot of games, period.
Right.
It wasn't just that they were so great at home. They were great everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know, and you got all the old Miami guys and, I brought it on record to say that. I mean, Michael Irvin should be breaking rocks on a Texas chain gang. I can't believe he's in the Hall of Fame on TV. Really. And guys like that have a big influence on the program. And I know Rick plays at Miami, but he doesn't really seem like a Miami guy to me.
No. Right.
So I don't know how that's going to work. I think if they go in and try to just do the things and emulate what he did at Georgia, I think they'll be okay. But I'm not sure you could do that at Miami. I think they really embrace that outlaw image. And, you know, and in all honesty, it's very difficult to do that in this day and age with all the social media. It's very hard to keep secrets. And if you have guys, because I don't know if you guys saw that 30 for 30, and Steve Walsh was laughing. He said, yeah, he ran into a couple of his friends one night. Yeah, oh, what are you guys doing? Oh, we're going to go out and steal some stereos out of cars.
Ooh.
You know, the Walsh just starts laughing. You know, he didn't want to say who the guys were.
Right.
You know, they just start laughing. I mean, that's just the way they did it. And, you know, listen, they won a lot of games, and, you know, hats off to them for winning. But I don't think you could do that in this day and age anymore. And, as long as you're holding on to that, then you're going to have some trouble. And Rick doesn't seem like that kind of guy that's going to put up with that.
I agree. He, you know, he's a top-notch, you know, I think, classy guy. And you know, whether it's fair to say Miami is, you know, the Outlaws, well, their history says they have been. So it's kind of like, you know, the oil and water. Will that mix? I hope it does, because I like Rick.
I'd say the same thing. I hope it does too, because I like Rick. And but I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's a good job or not. I think to me it's a mystery.
Yeah. Hey, what are you?
I saw Muschamp today talking about him going to South Carolina.
I was just about to ask you that.
Yeah.
Well.
You know, I guess he'd be a good fit, but anywhere he goes, he better hire a pretty good offensive coordinator, because he really was awful on the offensive side of the ball. And he had plenty of talent there, too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, he got to make a good hire as an assistant.
Yeah. Now, Jason and I were talking about that earlier, and in my opinion was, why would South Carolina be interested in Muschamp as their head coach when he was already in the SEC East with Florida and couldn't get it done, and now here comes Jim McElwain, they're in the championship and they're 10-2. I mean, what would possess them to want to hire, you know, Muschamp for their head coach?
Well, I would tell you the same thing. I don't know.
Right.
You know, I really think Florida's probably in a better situation than South Carolina, just as a very blanket statement.
Right.
And if he couldn't win at the one place, I don't know what would make you think he'd win at the other place. I mean, to me, if I were South Carolina, I think I'd look elsewhere. I don't know exactly where, but I think I would look elsewhere.
Yep. Hey, what's your thoughts on Kirby Smart going to Georgia?
Well, now that seems like a pretty good fit to me. You know, Kirby Smart's done nothing but a good job. Pretty young guy. Seems like an energetic guy. I think he'll recruit well. I mean, Georgia. I mean, I don't tell you guys, Georgia's
full of talent.
You know, right there among, got as much talent as probably any state in the union right now. So I think Kirby Smart will do a good job. And again, you have to see who he brings along on the staff. But seems to me Georgia got plenty of money. They'll make some pretty good hires up and down the line of that staff. I thought that was a very good hire by Georgia.
Hey, Chris, let's get on to the important stuff of making a few coins. Well, let me ask you, out your way, one thing I'd skipped over that I meant to ask you about, out your way, USC has really, at least in this part of the country, shocked people by hiring Clay Helton as their head coach. What are your thoughts on that, and what's being talked about out your way on this hire?
Well, I'm not too crazy about it. I think they probably could have done a little bit better. It seems like it was a very conservative way to go. And, you know, one of the things I've said for years is I really don't like firing those coaches mid-season, because it seems like you're almost like you got a gun to your head. You want the new guy, whoever the replacement is, you want the guy to do well. But if he does real well, now all of a sudden it's almost like you got to hire him.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you're going through the whole process of vetting all the candidates and seeing who the perfect fit is. You know, and I think you can go down through history, and most of the time when you fire those guys, that assistant you put in there does not work. And I thought they could do better than that. And I mean, I think the guy, to me, looks like he's a solid assistant coach, but I haven't seen anything else to prove otherwise. And I'll tell you what, I mean, say what you want, but Southern Cal still is very inconsistent. I mean, they have a lot of talent on that team, so they do play some really good games. But it seems like other games, they just kind of don't show up. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm not crazy about the hire myself.
Okay, this weekend, championship weekend, let's start again out your way in the Pac-12. USC, I'm showing it +4.5 playing Stanford. Who do you like in this one?
Well, I'm on Stanford in this one, and you know, I put this out to our clients today. I think Stanford right now, like I said, they are very consistent. They play their style. They almost know to a certain extent what's coming. I think they dominate the line of scrimmage offense, and I think they'll do that again to Southern Cal. Their defense, probably not quite as good as it has been in the past, but I still think it's pretty darn good. And I think you got Hogan at quarterback, a guy who's not that flashy. But really, when we stop and look back at Hogan's career, he had a heck of a career at Stanford. He's been really good. And of course, you got Christian McCaffrey, guy who does everything on offense, whether it's returning kicks or catching passes or running from the line of scrimmage. So I think they got probably the best athlete on the field in McCaffrey. I think they win the ball. I think they win at the line of scrimmage. You know, I think I look at the passing game, and it's stronger offensively. It's stronger defensively. I think they're a little bit better coached. I think we could just run down the line, and I really think Stanford is a little bit better than SC in every phase of the game, or at least when you're looking a broad way. Like I said before, though, every once in a while, SC puts together that great game. This might be it, but my money's on Stanford. I think they handle this game. And one more thing I want to say, this game is at Levi's Stadium, and it seems like nobody's given Stanford any home field advantage. They're going to have a little advantage playing up there. So I'm not sure how many points that's worth, but I think it's worth one or two. Okay. I like Stanford in this game.
Good deal. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I agree with you on that one. I want to see how many we agree on, because that gets scary when you and I agree that much. So. A game that we're interested in, Chris, and probably a lot of the country interested in, the ACC, North Carolina +4.5 playing Clemson.
Well, I'm on North Carolina in this one. Like I said, Clemson, I don't think is playing their best ball right now. And Yeoman, the running back, who's been very good for Clemson, I think he has 1,000-some yards this year, sophomore. He's been good, but he's been hurt the last couple of games. Missed one entirely, I think 2 weeks ago. But he's been good, but he says he's 100%. But, you know, these guys, what do you want them to say? They're always going to say they're 100%. Right. I'm not sure he is. I think a lot has fallen on Deshaun Watson, and I'm not sure. Listen, he's a great player, and I think he deserves to be in the discussion for the Heisman Trophy. But like I said earlier, Gene Chizik's going to come up with something, Northern just a compromise his abilities at least a little bit, and if this game is won in the fourth quarter, which I think it will be, and your quarterback isn't 100%, I think Chizik's going to try to take his toll on Watson. I think this game's up grabs, and I'm going to take the points. And I'll tell you the other thing about North Carolina. You know, Marquise Williams, their quarterback, I mean, he's not as good as Watson, but he's darn good. I mean, this kid can really, really play. He's a terrific runner, has close to 800 yards rushing. He's done a terrific job passing. And I think he can win a lot of football games for you. And I think Carolina takes this all the way in with a great chance to win this game out.
Well, that sounds good. I agree again. This is getting scary now, Chris.
Uh-oh. Yeah, my friend. Scary.
Yeah. The Big Ten, Michigan State, -3.5, playing Iowa.
You know, I know a lot of the Wildcats are on Michigan State in this game, but I have to disagree with them. I'm going to go with Iowa here. And I think Iowa, you know, I have some numbers that I, you know, and besides just final score, that sort of thing. And a lot of little things in game, Iowa does extremely well. And that's exactly how they've been undefeated all year. They haven't wowed anybody. But, you know, they don't make any big mistakes. They don't turn the ball over. They don't take stupid penalties. Just everything they do is very close to the vest. And that's the way I expect this game to be played. And taking 3.5, you know, Michigan State, they've been good, no doubt about it. And they were really good last week against Penn State. But I don't think they're good enough to beat Iowa handily. is another game that I think goes all the way down to the end. I'm going to take the 3.5 points because I think this game is probably a field goal one way or the other. And I think Iowa, again, has a great, great chance to win this game. I've got the plus.
Okay, good deal. And I feel a little better now. I haven't done anything on this game yet, but I am on the other side of the fence right now if you don't talk me into jumping the fence.
Okay.
All right, the American Athletic, Temple, plus 5.5, playing Houston.
Well, you know, when I first looked at this game, I really wanted to bet on Temple, but I thought I'd be getting a little more points. So I haven't played, but I'll tell you, the number is so low, I'm starting to look at Houston as maybe the possible five here. And they lose one game when Greg Ward, the quarterback, was out. I mean, that's the only game they've lost. And their defense is way better than people think. I know they score a lot of points, but the defense is pretty good. Now, that being said, Temple's done. They've done a lot of things themselves where they don't blow games by taking stupid penalties and turn all over. And as good as Houston's defense is, Temple's is actually a little bit better. But still, I think people know that about Temple, and that's in the number. I don't think people know that about Houston. Their defense, like I said, better than expected. And I think right now, a little bit of value on Houston. I have not bet this game, though, but I think the number is pretty low. I thought it should be about 7 myself.
Okay. Fair enough, and like you, I haven't done anything on that, so we get a free pass on that one. The SEC, the game that everybody in the state of Alabama except Auburn fans are interested in.
Which is everybody in the state of Alabama.
Which Auburn fans are interested in it, but they're all pulling for the Gators. So
exactly.
I thought Jason was going to skip that one, Ronnie. I didn't even know he knew they were playing.
He just puts it off to last.
Save it for last. Alabama, Chris, the line, you may see something different, but the last time I looked today, the line has moved to Alabama minus 18 from minus 17.
Yeah, that's what I see, and it even opened a lot lower than that. And you know, there's nobody right now wants to bet on Florida, and, you know, I really don't blame them. I mean, Florida's offense has gone completely south. You know, the total's like 40 in this game. That means they got Florida penciled in for like 10 to 12 points, something like that. You know, and it's hard to argue with that. It really is.
I'm wondering how they're going to get that many.
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, we talked about that last week with Auburn. You need an event.
Right.
You know, a tip pass, special teams, a defensive touchdown, something like that. The only way, and right now I have not bet this game, and I've told you, you know, the number got away from me. I might have laid 16 on Bama, but I'm not going to lay 18 when the total's 40. But yeah. if you're looking to bet Florida, I think your only chance that you have is McElwain comes up with a great defensive plan, and you try to hold Bama to 20, 21 points, hope you can get in the end zone one time, however that might be. And you might get the dough that way. But I really think that's about your only shot. I think you just try to go in there with your usual game plan and, you know, just try to score more points in Bama, it just ain't going to work.
Right.
You know, but I didn't bet the game. Like I said, if it was 16, I really wanted to bet it early, and I didn't. I see betting Bama at 16. I just don't want to lay 18 in this. And I really don't have much desire to play Florida either.
Okay, yeah, I'm on Alabama at 17, but I'm not on them near as heavy as I was last week, so I'm just enough that I can enjoy it. So, hey, any games under the radar?
I think 17 is reasonable.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Any games under the radar, Chris, that has your attention, NFL, college, it don't matter what it is. We'll even go soccer, rugby, anything that anybody can make a dollar on.
Well, there's a cricket match in Australia.
There you go.
I played a couple pro games. Okay, Jason, I'm going with your boy again. I'm going with Carolina. I keep going back to the well.
That's
with
it.
Carolina. But, you know, they're 9-2 against the number. I mean, everybody knows how good they are, but it seems like they just don't get enough respect.
Right.
So I've played 7 on them again, and I keep looking at these numbers and I keep telling people they should be like about a 13-point favorite. And New Orleans is terrible.
Yeah, Saints are
not
good.
Last week, like I can't remember the exact number, but Peyton and Breeze together. So they had that one year where Peyton was suspended. But Peyton and Breeze together coming off a bye. Oh, man, I can't remember how many points, but it's a big number of points that they put up, and they were 8-0 straight up coming out of the bye. Well, last week they put up 6 points. They couldn't get into the end zone one time. To me, it tells me, first of all, I got a friend of mine who's a scout, and he told me that Breeze is just not what he was. He's really gone downhill quickly. And you could see Coach Peyton, he just doesn't have the passion. Everybody's talking about him being elsewhere next year. I believe that. I think he believes that. So right now, I don't want to say New Orleans is quit. I hate to use that word. But right now, they don't seem to have much passion. And one of the games that Carolina did not cover was against this New Orleans team. So I think that kind of where what the number was. But they know New Orleans gave them a little bit of a hard time last time they played. And I think their attention will be greatly focused here. I'm on Carolina in that one. You know, I played a couple other ones. I played Baltimore against Miami. I think Miami deserved to be a 4-point favorite over anybody. I don't know. And even though Baltimore is missing all their best players on offense anyway, I think this is still a well-coached team, and they are playing with some passion. And that's another one of my big plays. I like Baltimore. And I'll give you one more on the Monday night game. I like Washington.
Washington.
And I hate playing the favorites, but a Cowboy team, what can they be thinking? You know, they lose Romo again. And going into last week, they were talking about maybe winning the division. And, you know, we all know it's a crappy division. They had a chance to win it. And, you know, Romo coming back, they're all excited. But he goes out again. I mean, I just can't see their focus being so great on this game. And, you know, Washington's playing some pretty good ball. And Kirk Cousins is getting a little bit better. And I think right now is a good spot to play Washington at home. They've been a pretty good home team this year, too. But
yeah,
they play big on Monday night.
Good deal. Hey, one other question, Chris, and appreciate all those picks, but I've got to ask you this. It popped in my head when you were talking about the NFL. Tell me how it is possible that the Cleveland Brown fans continue to pull for the Cleveland Browns. If there's a way to give a game away.
You asked the totally wrong guy.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. How you could not be suicidal if you're a real diehard Browns fan. You have to either be drinking heavily or, you know, hiding the razor blades or something. So, I don't know. It'd be awful tough to take. Awful tough.
Well, Chris, we appreciate it, man. We appreciate you joining us once again this week. And hopefully all these picks are going to pay off for you and for all of us this weekend. And, man, have yourself a great weekend.
All right, you guys, too, have a great time. Now, Ronnie, you going to be sober doing that Bama game or what?
Now, am I going what now?
You're going to be sober going
there? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I want to see every second of it so I can talk to Jason about it the next time we get together.
I have a feeling you might have a few things to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. You got it, Chris.
All right, you guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Have a great week. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Chris Andrews, the man with
That's
the plan.
Right.
And he gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 picks today.
He's in the Christmas spirit.
So
giving.
Take each one of those, and I bet you'll come out ahead.
I think you're probably right.
All right, Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back.
Dan
the man coming up. Stay with us.
Hey, guys, let's face it. We all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead. at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I would like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. The band keeps getting bigger and better. In fact, the group now numbers over 60 and really sounds terrific. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. From traditional Christmas music to new exciting arrangements, there will be something for everyone. Outstanding vocalist Josh Agnew will be featured on a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. You will not want to miss that. Again, the concert is Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. Admission is free.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Jurors find an Etowah County man guilty of capital murder in the death of his girlfriend's son. Kevin Tolles charged with beating 5-year-old Giante Glass to death over a conduct grade. His mother, Shalinda Glass, has already pleaded guilty to the murder. Governor Bentley voicing frustration over Syrian refugee relocation to the United States. For the third time, Bentley has written a letter to the White House to express concern over a lack of information and involvement of states in the screening for resettled refugees. Bentley tells the Obama administration, I cannot help but believe the intent appears to be an effort to circumvent states and our ability to adequately protect our people and ensure the safety of our citizens. Bentley's been joined by over two dozen other governors who have voiced security concerns over these refugees. And a Grinch is arrested in Mobile. Police say 29-year-old John Schilling stole Christmas decorations. Video surveillance catching him at a home taking the decorations right out of the front yard. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A Chilton County bus driver found guilty of reckless endangerment for a January accident. Several students were injured. Cops say she was speeding through Clanton when the bus overturned. Authorities say Donna Davis received a 6-month suspended sentence with probation and is expected to pay a fine. A man dies after his mobile home bursts into flames. It happened in South Alabama. Neighbors say they heard an explosion before the house went up. The victim, a 60-year-old man, authorities say the home did not have gas or propane service. Two minors arrested in Moody on vandalism charges from Thanksgiving Day. A business park and church were spray painted with numerous phrases, including the words, "Who is God?" And a state park closed due to budget cuts reopens today. Paul Grist State Park near Selma now open after the state reached an agreement with Dallas County authorities. And State Representative Alan Harper's call to shop only at American-owned stores being criticized by GOP leaders, including Alabama Republican Party Chair Terry Lathan, who calls the comments very concerning. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. In sports, no comment from the Alabama Athletic Department that strength and conditioning coach Scott Cochran may follow defensive coordinator Kirby Smart to Georgia. Tuscaloosa News reports Coach Saban's working to keep Cochran on campus with the offer of a big raise. Meanwhile, AL.com reports Kirby Smart will stay on at Alabama through the playoffs. Auburn defensive coordinator Will Muschamp to interview for the South Carolina head coaching job this week, according to multiple reports. Muschamp is one of three candidates expected to interview, including interim coach Sean Elliott and Oklahoma offensive coordinator Lincoln Riley. City of Birmingham signed a contract with ESPN for the Birmingham Bowl. The city will pay $300,000 to hold the game in the city, an extra $200,000 to keep the city name in the title. Game expected to bring $10 to $12 million in revenue. Stillman College eliminating its football program beginning in 2017. They'll only field teams in men's and women's basketball. Stillman will also leave Division II, dropping to the NAIA level. Administrators at the Tuscaloosa College blame it on budget problems. Angie Norvell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. It is 5:02. We've got our good buddy, Mr. Dan Vosta from Campus Insider. Dan, how are you today, buddy?
I'm doing great. Happy Thursday to you guys.
Same to you.
Hey, Dan.
Is it nice and warm in Chicago today?
No, not too warm. you know, in the 30s, upper 30s. We're in winter mode, and can't believe it's December, so this is kind of normal, but we'll find out. Rumor may be that we don't have as many blizzards as we've had the last couple of years, but if they do come, we're prepared for it.
Hey, that's
so
good that
it's... We'll enjoy our late Christmases, and we'll probably get another one.
That's good that it's cold. People might actually want to go Christmas shopping now.
That's right. That's it. Hey, Dan, let's talk a little bit about the Iron Bowl. Alabama was a 13.5 to 14.5 point favorite. They able to score late, cover the spread. What do you think about the game overall?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, Auburn obviously hung in there. I mean, Alabama, you know, for the most part, kept it pretty conservative. Like they've been the last couple weeks, really not the most explosive offense in their passing game, per se. But their defense played about as well as it could be for minus that, you know, long tip drill that we've seen Auburn pull off now a few times, it seems, the last couple of years. But for the most part, I thought it was kind of what we expected. I thought Alabama maybe would have hit an explosive play more than we saw. But for the most part, we saw that, inside of a minute to go when Derrick Henry broke that long runoff, per se. So for the most part, kind of what I expected. I thought Alabama would have scored maybe one more touchdown going into that final possession. But nonetheless, they got the victory. And sometimes these rivalry games are much closer than we understand, just like it was Clemson, South Carolina this past week, even though Clemson's probably had their biggest talent gap maybe in a decade plus over the Gamecocks, and yet the scoreboard did not indicate that. So sometimes rivalry games bring out the best for the underdog more so than the favorites, since the favorites have more to lose. Sometimes they play not to lose. You know, and that prevents them from doing is winning more times than not. But luckily, Alabama still has as good of a coaching staff and running back as it gets in the country, and that seemed to be the difference, along with their front seven, of course. That seemed to be the biggest difference. So Auburn gave a great effort and proved why, you know, the reason why they are bowling, because they could have packed it up a month or so ago and knocked up a couple wins there to go postseason play. So we'll see what bowl game they get now. But Alabama kind of survived in advance, and now they need to play their best ball games, three, if you will, if they want to win it all.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dan. Hey, now Alabama's traveling to, you know, Atlanta on Saturday. I believe the game's at 2:30 or 3 o'clock our time, which is, I guess, be the same as yours. But the Gators, playing against the Gators, they're a 17 to an 18-point favorite somewhere in that neighborhood. Give us your thoughts on that one, and do you think Bama's able to cover the spread?
Yeah, I think they will. But, I mean, everybody seems to obviously have a strong opinion that it's a lock city, because Mayfield Florida won't score. But sometimes these SEC championship games are a little out of left field, if you will, of the final results. Obviously, you know, Bama put the beat down on Missouri last year. Those things sometimes change. Shane Ray, of course, got ejected during that game, kind of changed the results there. But I also would argue that Missouri team, as well as they've played the last 2 years prior to this season, not nearly as talented as the Florida Gators, despite how banged up they are up front on defense, but are getting healthier and should be getting most of their studs playing at a better rate than they've been the last couple weeks. But really the key for that game this weekend is Treon Harris needs to be able to complete a forward pass. He gets DeMarcus Robinson back, of course, suspended against the Noles, and they desperately needed him to at least get on the scoreboard offensively. And I think they will avoid a shutout, which I think is crucial if you're talking about can Alabama win by 3-plus touchdowns. I think they will, but I think this is more of like a 34 to, 10 game. I think it's going to be fairly close, and you're probably going to have to sweat it out, and it may come down to another late Derrick Henry touchdown, I'd say, with about 5 minutes under to go. But I think Florida is going to avoid a shutout, play some pretty darn good defense for at least 2.5 quarters. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bama's, up by 10 or less at halftime. But I think in the trenches, they'll wear down the Gators in the second half, and they'll get a few three and outs. Florida will struggle miserably in the second half to complete big-time passes. And I think you'll see Alabama open it up a little bit, and Derrick Henry will find the end zone a bit more. He'll find pay dirt. So I like the tide to roll. Like a 33-10, 33-13 type of atmosphere. It's going to be a great one, but I like the tide at the end of the day.
Okay. Hey, Dan, let me just throw this is off the cuff a little bit. If we put Auburn and we put Florida side by side, in your opinion, which one of those two is a better football team?
I think it'd be a very interesting matchup. I would probably still lean with Florida slightly right now, especially with DeMarcus Robinson back at the moment. Even without him, I'd still probably slightly favor the Gators on a neutral field for anywhere three-ish to close to a touchdown. But I think it would be, you know, a very close ball game, which I'm not sure a month ago I think people would laugh if you mentioned that argument. But I think it would be a very good, well-played game at the moment. Florida just, they're lacking the explosive playmakers. They really haven't had for a few years now. But it's hard to really score points consistently when you can't score in really less than 7-8 plays, because good defenses will hold you to 3 if you can't bust a long run in running game or via the passing game. So Kelvin Taylor is very good. He's going to run for over 1,000 yards this year, but he's not the most explosive player in the country by any means. And his O-line's been solid, but the receiver's really been an issue for the Gators. So I'd still favor them to answer your question.
Okay. I guess what, you know, in my mind, what I'm thinking is Florida, if Florida can have a phenomenal game defensively and just maybe get a turnover here or an interception or a punt or anything that will help them special teams, they've got a chance to win the ball game, but it seems like it's kind of very similar to what Auburn was going to have against Alabama last week.
Absolutely. I think that's the key. I think they got to at least cause 2+ turnovers to really have a chance to win this game, and in either a defensive or special team score to at least make it very competitive. If they were to do both those 2+ turnover scoring D or special teams, they have a very good chance of winning. But Alabama has pretty much dominated all three phases of the game, specifically special teams. You just look at those games the last early mid point of the season, scoring on special teams and defense. You saw against A&M and Mississippi State, they can pretty much do it all. The passing game's kind of had a little bit of a weak link, not loaded as years past, but nonetheless, in my opinion, they still get the job done better than anybody out there.
Yeah. Hey, I think everybody would probably agree that Alabama is certainly the best team in the SEC. It's not even close. But let's throw out divisions and all that kind of stuff and let you, Dan, pick what team you would like to see play against Alabama in the championship game.
Yeah, if I could choose any team in the SEC, correct?
Correct. Any team in the SEC.
Yeah, I would probably choose Hotty Toddy. I would choose the Ole Miss Rebels. I think there's a good chance they're going to play in the Sugar Bowl against Baylor more than likely. But more importantly, I think the Rebels are the hottest team in the SEC, at least not named Alabama. But they've been very explosive. Chad Kelly can spin it. I've always loved this team. And of course, they, you know, struggle against the Gators, to say the least, early in the season when they picked up that huge win at Alabama. But that would be the key, a rematch with Alabama. Alabama would have to pay him back the last couple of seasons. And just amazing to think about, guys, if Ole Miss wouldn't have lost that crazy greatest, in my opinion, greatest pitch in the history of college football from Hunter Henry.
Right.
He winged that 30-plus yards. You know, some guys can't even throw it 30-plus yards in terms of a non-quarterback sometimes. Right. And they would have won that game. And, of course, excuse me, they lost. That cost them a chance to play in the SEC championship. It would be crazy to think if Alabama was 11-1, still likely in the CFP, but not even in the SEC championship. Luckily, no drama there because the Rebels would be. So I think that'd be a great matchup because obviously we know the Rebels have a handful of NFL potential first, second rounders that will likely be declaring after the bowl game upcoming this postseason.
Hey, I agree with you there, Dan. And I would like to see that game, you know, even though, you know, Ole Miss can put on their mantle that they beat Alabama the last 2 years, and they're probably the only team that can do that.
Yeah, it's amazing because they've never appeared, actually, in the SEC championship. Maybe we'll see that sooner than later, but certainly still potential bigger days ahead of them.
Exactly. Hey, as everybody knows, it's championship Saturday, so I'm going to throw some of these games out, and you give us your thoughts. Temple against Houston.
Yes. I'm a favorite with the Houston Cougars. Home game for them. If they win, they're going to head to the Fiesta Bowl. If Temple were to shock them and upset them, they're likely going to the Peach Bowl. But I like the Cougars Greg Ward Jr. will score enough points against a very underrated, in my opinion, top 20 Temple All defense. I like the Houston Cougars there.
Yep. Hey, let me go off cuff here and throw one at you. Do you think do you think Herman stays at Houston, or does he go somewhere else?
Wow. I mean, most people would like to lean towards he goes, but I think there's a chance he stays for another year, and then I think he goes next year. But I wouldn't rule him out, taken away. But they're trying to, give him an extension or have him stay for at least another little more season or two. But I'm going to lean towards staying, but I wouldn't rule it out because certainly we've seen so many high-priority coaches from the group of five get to the Power Five.
Great. All right, Pac-12, Stanford, USC.
I'm going to go with the Trojans in a slight upset, played in Santa Clara, home of the San Fran 49ers. I think Quiddy Cutsler and the offense taking care of the ball, number one. Love Ronald Jones. Statistically, he's the greatest freshman running back in USC history in terms of yardage. But the defense is really pinning its ears back, getting after the quarterback, played the best ball of the season. Some are picking USC, but not enough in my opinion. I think Stanford struggled with Notre Dame big time in the passing game last week. Two defensive backs starting for Stanford were out. I think USC has similar skill players compared to USC, so I like the Trojans in a slight upset.
Okay. The next one here, ACC, Clemson and North Carolina, probably the most interesting game this weekend. What you got? What are you thinking?
Yeah, despite being played in the state of North Carolina, I'm going to go with the Clemson Tigers in like a 42-31 shootout, if you will. I think Deshaun Watson will punch his ticket, if you will, to New York. He's going to get invited to the Heisman ceremony. I think Clemson's come too far to lose this game. I think they will trail early, but it will not snowball. Clemson will turn it up a notch. I think the second half is all theirs.
Okay. The Big Ten, Michigan State and Iowa.
Yeah, classic North-South running bulldozing game. Iowa's proved me and most of America wrong for most of the season. They're proving that they are a worthy team at 12-0 now. But now they, in my opinion, by far their toughest competition in Michigan State. I like the Sparty 24-20, but it's going to be a thriller. This realistically could be the best game of the weekend, maybe with the Pac-12. I think really all these games are going to be very good. But I think the Big Ten kind of being that last game more likely of the weekend. That game's going to come down to a wire. It really, for me, the key is, can Iowa score in the red zone? They need somebody to step up and score some touchdowns. I think Michigan State holds them to a few field goals, and they get the edge.
Good deal. Thanks, Dan, this is Jason. After the dust settles from the championship Saturday and we kind of see who's doing what and where, what four teams do you expect to see in the college football playoff picture?
Yeah, I'm going to lean with Clemson as the one seed, barely over Alabama. We'll see if that changes. I would not rule that out, but I go Clemson 1, Bama 2, Oklahoma 3, and that would go Michigan State 4. So we realistically see Clemson, Sparty in the Orange Bowl, and the Cotton would be a rematch from a few years ago between the Tide and the Sooners.
Okay, good deal. Unless you've been living under a rock, and we know you have it, Dan, the coaching rumor mill going crazy. The carousel is in high gear. It seems like every time you turn the radio on, somebody else is moving. Give us a rundown of what we do know and what we don't know. What's the biggest stories that's getting your attention as far as the coaching carousel?
Yeah, for sure. I think certainly what we do know right now is that, Mark Richt now at the Miami Hurricanes, I think, is officially brought back to stay of Florida to maybe, with all due respect to Alabama, even though I still think the rivalry game of the Iron Bowl is still the best in the country.
Hey, Dan.
But I think the state of Florida is going to flex their muscles for the near future with the Canes, Gators, and Noles really going to dominate the national landscape of recruiting. We're going to see if it turns into victories for Miami. I'm not expecting national championships right away or maybe any point for Mark Richt, who seems to can't get over the hump. I think Miami is going to be very relevant upcoming, if they get Jacob Eason, a stud high school quarterback from Washington who's since decommitted from Georgia. He's open to Florida, and perhaps he goes to Miami if Mark Richt can lure him. But I think the Canes are going to be back soon, winning 9-10 games every year. And then what we maybe don't know yet, but potentially down the road, Sonny Dykes is a name to keep an eye on from Cal. He came over from Louisiana Tech, improved their offense big time. Now he's made Jared Goff potential top 10 pick in the draft. He could be going to SEC territory. Perhaps Mizzou. Some feel South Carolina is a better fit. So keep an eye out for Sonny Dykes and a few other names. My prediction for the Frank Broyles Award winner this year will be the young Lincoln Riley. He had the air raid offense at ECU. Well, this year he's at Oklahoma, and he's made Baker Mayfield into almost Johnny Manziel 2.0, and Mayfield could be a Heisman candidate in New York this year. So Riley could go to South Carolina, really up their ante offensively, challenged the last few years. And then a couple guys to keep an eye out for quickly is Jeff Brom of Western Kentucky, have been sensational the last 2 years. He could go to Virginia as soon as this weekend. And then Troy Calhoun also, he's from Air Force, playing in the Mountain West Championship game this weekend. He potentially could also go to Virginia or a school such as Missouri. So you really look at it, coordinators or coaches that are at, you know, group of five teams that are having big-time success, they get noticed when you win 9, 10-plus games, and they'll likely go to a Power 5 team. And for the Power 5 coordinators, those hot, you know, shot names, don't last too long. Just look at the case. Kirby Smart now at Georgia. So those are a few ones to look out for.
All right. Dan, let me ask you this before we move on to buy, sell, and trade. Mm-hmm. This Mark Richt, Ronnie's getting me sidetracked
here. Buy, sell, and hold.
What did I say? Buy, sell, and trade. That's what I wrote down here, too, when I wrote it. this Mark Richt deal going to Miami, does this instantly make Miami relevant again? Are they now a team that you can look for in the top two or three in the ACC year in, year out?
I think so. I think it's going to really – I'll give you a better answer once the offseason – once we get to June or July or maybe even March, I would say. Once we get past National Signing Day, I think we'll get a better glimpse. But if they have a decent recruiting class, they'll probably be preseason top 25. And they were pretty much better than almost every team they played this year. They just managed to lose a few games like always. So I think they will, answer your question, be a top three school. I think you'll see Florida State, Clemson, you know, beat up on everybody except them, you know, up until they play each other. But Miami will likely dominate the Coastal since the Noles and Clemson in the Atlantic. The Coastal has been pretty mediocre, to say the least, the last few years. You go from Georgia Tech the last couple of years competing in the ACC title, and this year they're not even close to bowling as they're not eligible, of course. So I think the Canes will be relevant, and they'll be a top 15, top 20 team, probably starting as soon as next year, an easy top three or four team in the ACC.
Okay, good deal. That's a coach that Ronnie and I both are pulling for, hoping he does well down in Miami. All right, let's move on to buy, sell, and trade is what we're calling it today, Ronnie.
It's your show. You do what you want to
do. I wrote it down here. I typed it in here, so that's what we're going to call it. Buy, sell, and hold. Yeah, we're going to say trade. No holds today.
Oh.
No holds today.
Okay.
It's new rule for today only. Starting with Dan, since he is our guest, Dan, Will Muschamp will be back in a head coaching position next season.
I'll buy that. I think there are so many opportunities, potentially South Carolina. Many people feel that he'll get the calling for that over maybe some other, maybe more deserving coaches, but there's still a bunch of open positions. I wouldn't bet the ranch on it, but I'll put a little stock into buying for Will Muschamp being a head coach next season. There's a chance he may come back for another year of coordinating the defense, but I'll buy that.
Okay, Ronnie?
I'm going to say I would really like to ask Muschamp, are you willing to move anywhere in the country? If the answer to that was yes, then I would say yes. If he wants to stay in the SEC or in the South, I would say no. I would sell that. So just to be different, I'm going to say sell. He will not be a head coach next year. He may not even be in Auburn next year. You know, the little bit of talk we hear is he may be in possibly in Georgia as a defensive coordinator. So I'm selling that.
All right. Ronnie, you'll start this one. Auburn watered down the field before the Iron Bowl in order to slow down Derrick Henry.
Oh, good grief.
And let me clear this up, Ronnie, before, in case Dan wonders what in the heck is he talking about. You may have saw it, Dan, a Facebook rumor going around over the weekend that Auburn watered down the field in order to slow Henry down, didn't give Alabama a chance to change their cleats and so forth, and that's where this question came from.
So. I'm just going to sell it.
Ronnie's a seller.
I'm selling that. They both got to play on the same field, so I sell it.
All right. Dan?
Well, just to disagree, I mean, there's been rumors about this as well. I'm going to buy it just for the fact that this wouldn't be crazy because we've seen it with the Bush push. Notre Dame grew their grass out, I think, at my shoulders. Northwestern always seems to play in like a foot of grass. A lot of schools do this. And obviously, you always change your cleats, and you should all be aware. It really doesn't matter because I feel like the better team's going to win anyways. But I could buy that. I wouldn't be shocked if that is. I'm not saying I know anything. I'm just saying it wouldn't shock me if they did do that with all those rumors. I wouldn't be shocked. I'll just buy that just to disagree, respectfully, of course.
Okay, and as Ronnie has said, and he is one of the only Alabama fans I've heard say that, he said, hey, it's your home field. Do what you want to with it.
That's right. Don't cut the grass. Let the grass grow long. You know,
those things play on.
That's exactly right.
All right, back to you, Dan. CBS should replace Vern and Gary on their SEC Game of the Week.
I'll sell that. I got nothing against those guys. Most people, maybe not the biggest fans of them, but you know what? I have no problem with them calling the game. I feel like they do a pretty good job for the most part overall, and it's just been tradition for how many years they've been doing this. So I'll sell that. I think they should not replace them.
Okay, Ronnie?
I'm selling it, too. Even though I don't necessarily like them, Alabama's in the championship game, and I don't want to be jinxed.
Yeah, don't jinx
anything.
That's
right.
All right, Ronnie, after surviving the latest attempt to remove him, Les Miles will now be at LSU until he wants to leave.
I'm still going to sell that. I'm going to sell that. If he doesn't get better offensively, doesn't get a quarter in the back he can develop, and if he doesn't beat Alabama pretty soon, then the fans, people are going to turn on him as well as administration. So I'm going to sell it. I think he's still got to win and beat Bama.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, you know what? This might be actually one of the tougher ones, but maybe not. It's, you know, such a tough week for Les Miles, and a lot of people reported that it was at halftime or the days before where they kind of made them their decision. But you know what? I guess I will sell that. I mean, it's kind of a tough one. No holding today, but I mean, I guess I'll sell. It's just hard to say for sure. I do think that Les Miles is at the point where he's had such a halting career for LSU. He should be able to do what he wants, but you can't rule anything out because if he were to have a 5 or 6 loss season, then I think they'll have to have him, you know, sit down and resign. But I wouldn't rule anything out. I'll just sell for the sake.
Okay. Dan, back to you. Georgia's hiring of Kirby Smart is a huge gamble, and they would have been smarter to have hired a proven head coach.
I'll sell that as well. I think, you know, you've always preferred to have a proven coach that's had a lot of success, but he's been in the SEC for a while. I think many people have wanted him to become a head coach for many years, and I think he'll have big-time success at Georgia. I mean, you could argue he's one of the top 5 defensive minds in the country, bar minimum. And I think he is really going to improve something with Georgia, which what they've lacked is in the Big Ten games. They've seemed to have been a little mentally weak in the big games. When the tough one gets tough, you got to roll over your opponents. And I think that's something they've been lacking, and I think he'll bring that to them and give them an emphatic, you know, double-digit win season next year. And I think they need that tenacity, and I think Kirby Smart brings that.
Okay, Ronnie?
Hey, I'm going to sell that as well. I think Kirby Smart's a great hire for him. You know, he's been in Tuscaloosa since about 08. Done a great job since he's been there, so I think Kirby will be a good head coach.
Okay, running back to you. Lane Kiffin will be a better head coach than Will Muschamp.
My bite.
That didn't take long.
That didn't take long.
All right, Dan?
Yeah, I'll buy. That's tough. I guess I'll buy that just because I think, you know, in this type of era, you need to have an offensive mind to have big-time success. If we're debating between two certain coaches, I'll loosely lean with the offensive mind, but more so I'm just not sure Will Muschamp can be the greatest coach in the world. I think he's an exceptional D coordinator. And, of course, it just came out a little bit ago, guys, that, of course, Will Muschamp not likely to return to Auburn, mentioned, but we'll see. They did mention Georgia, Alabama, defensive coordinator or head coach for South Carolina, but I'll buy that. I'll buy Lane Kiffin's offense. I think certainly with more success maybe in the next 2-3 games, I think we'll even make a stronger case and kind of make that an easy one.
Okay, back to you, Dan. USC underachieved in their hiring of Clay Helton.
I'll sell that. I think underachieved maybe not the right word. I mean, you normally will hit the home run, which they've tried to do at USC in terms of popular name. So I think they've tried to make a case that, you know, we don't give anything about a big name. We just want to win, and they think that Clay Helton's the guy for that. So I think I'll sell that. I don't think they underachieved. And I think you know, my point will be proven when they beat Stanford this week and to prove that he was the right guy for the job. But as I always say, you know, time will tell. So we'll see about that. But I'll sell that. I don't think they're underachieved because lately it seems like they were overachieving with their head coach in terms of the name almost kind of matching up, and they've had zero success for the most part. So for that, I'll sell.
All right, Ronnie?
From me, and again, I kind of agree with Dan as far as the wording, but I'm going to buy in the fact that they could have hired a bigger name person out there, mm-hmm. A little bit more, you know, that every household that keeps up with college football would know. So for that reason, you know, I'm going to buy it. I would think USC could basically get just about anybody they wanted. So I think they settled.
And we've already said they could hire you or I.
So, either one.
Yeah.
For half the price.
But they hired Clay Hilton.
That's so. Exactly. What are they thinking?
Yeah. All right,
they would overachieve, though. They would overachieve.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah.
it. Ronnie, last one. When the Final Four teams are announced, it will feature at least two teams that aren't currently in the top four.
I'm going to sell that. I think the only change that may happen is Michigan State over Iowa. Otherwise, I think it stays the same.
Okay. Dan?
I'll agree. I think I will sell. I think they'll will not be two teams, just one. I just want to consider, obviously, Michigan State and Iowa out, four and five. So I'll sell that. I think one, two, and three, obviously, are going to move on. Oklahoma not playing this week at number three. So the top two are going to move on. Three stays put, and then we'll flip four and five. So I'll sell that. But I think those three games are all going to be very intriguing. Maybe not the SEC as much as the ACC, obviously, and the Big Ten. But nonetheless, I'll sell that. I think we top three stays and just flip four or five.
All right, good deal. And I'm gonna buy that one. I think North Carolina gets Clemson, and
okay.
we lose Clemson, and we have Michigan State move in, and that is our
could happen.
Four teams.
Could happen.
Hey, Dan, appreciate you joining us again, and man, we look forward to getting with you next week and seeing how this thing all shakes out and what it looks like. So, hope you have yourself
you
a great
enjoy
weekend.
Enjoy the games this weekend. You too, likewise. Appreciate you guys having me on, and have a great weekend.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Be
appreciate
safe, Dan.
Have a great one, guys.
Dan Vasta, Campus Insider, Ronnie.
Chicago, and Illinois.
That's it. Up there where it is, a little cooler than here.
That's right.
Stay with us. Coming up next, we're going to be catching a few
cold fish
today.
That's right. Rex is sitting in here with us.
He's ready to go.
He's going to put it on us. How we put an old fish in a boat with some muddy water.
Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman.
I feel nice. Like sugar is fine.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I would like to invite you to our Christmas concert Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. The band keeps getting bigger and better. In fact, the group now numbers over 60 and really sounds terrific. This year's program is shaping up to be the best yet. From traditional Christmas music to new exciting arrangements, there will be something for everyone. Outstanding vocalist Josh Agnew will be featured on a beautiful rendition of O Holy Night. You will not want to miss that. Again, the concert is Monday, December 14th at 7 p.m. in the Coleman High School Auditorium. Admission is free.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. So we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95kalman.com today. Or visit our website, live95kalman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Kalman's Independent Radio.
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive. And you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main in Cullman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Hey, it is 5:33. Welcome back, Sports Talk Live. We've got our old fishing buddy who stopped by to see us again today, Mr. Rex Chambers. So, Rex, glad you were able to not just call in, but able to come by and sit down with us a little while.
Steppenwolf to you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, before we get into the putting some fish in the boat, give us your thoughts about the Alabama-Auburn game.
We lost.
That's all there is needs
That's
to be said.
All you can say. Hey, you have to admit at halftime you were just a little bit concerned.
It was a better ball game than I thought it was going to be.
There are no moral victories.
No,
but that was a closer ball game than I didn't expect it to be that close.
No.
You know, and a score don't dictate what the how close it really was. But what gets me is even when I coached little kids, I don't think today's coaches do one thing, and that's emphasize how important a play is.
Yeah.
When it's third and eight or fourth and one,
right?
I don't think the players, and I know college is way more fast paced
sure.
than high school and juniors and all that, but to take a breath, step back and say, this could be the play
That's right.
that changes the entire game. And I never seen that on either
right.
side of the ball. Anybody step up and say, I got to make this
right.
play. And
right.
it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, your miracle escape, two sacks in the backfield and throw it in the end zone. That don't happen often.
No, it doesn't.
Of course, the little tip play for a 72-yard touchdown that don't happen often either.
But, I agree with Rex. I think it was two football teams that – I think Auburn is a better football team than what they played, and I think Alabama's better than what they
– What's the bad is I sat there and said, golly, that, you know, it's about midway through the third quarter. Well, they really stopped Henry. That was the game plan, stop
yeah.
Henry. And all of a sudden I said, well, he's got 200 yards. I'm like, when in the world did he get 200 yards rushing?
Exactly. 46 carries, you know, that has a lot to do with it. So he had to carry the ball a lot for them because they don't have it.
I love the Oklahoma on an Ohio State tweet. Must be nice.
That is true. But, you know, with Kenyon Drake being out now, they don't have much. You know,
they're a one-man show.
That's exactly
Anybody
right.
Everybody says different. If you take him out, you don't win that game.
That's probably true. You know, you're relying on freshmen,
yep.
you know, to play at that point. He's not that talented.
He's a beast, and he'll hoist the trophy.
Absolutely.
And he deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's talk a little bit about fishing. Weather last few days really changed, I guess. A tremendous amount of rain. I don't know how much we got. You probably do. I had to go to Scottsboro yesterday and went through Gunnersville, and a lot of the water looked like chocolate. Not many guys out on the water yesterday. Don't know, you know, necessarily the reason for that. Now it's getting colder. What is the tremendous amount of water and stain in the water kind of turn it chocolate? What is that going to do to the fish?
Well, number one is it's time for your fair weather fishermen to put up their stuff.
The hardcore guys are still there.
Only the hardcore ones are on the water. Gunnersville actually lowest I've personally ever seen it. I've never seen them pull Gunnersville as much rain as we've had.
Right.
I've never seen them get Gunnersville this low at this time of year. I mean, it's close to 2 feet, which is old, you know, on Smith Lake, that 2 feet.
Yeah.
2 feet on the river is a lot.
It's a lot of water.
Every other lake, though, Wilson Pitwick, they're a foot high because they're running so much water from Nickajack and Chickamauga down through Gunnersville and running it right on down to Wilson and Pitwick. So, but what you got to do to change? Like, still a transition. I mean,
sure.
Especially if you're on Tennessee River, you either got to find a current to catch some fish, or if you're on Gunnersville, you got to find an old grass bed and hope they're hanging out there in 8 to 10 feet.
Is the grass still plentiful, or is it dying
off?
No,
grass is dying off. And you still find some green grass. You're not going to find any mats, even though with the water down, there's no mats. But there's still some green grass, but it is dying. Anytime we get nights, it's in the 30s, that grass dies quickly.
Okay. I've read, or maybe I'm making it up, I don't know, that when the water gets really muddy, that many times those fish will go as shallow as they can possibly go?
Muddy water is a hiding point for the bait fish. They'll get in the muddy water just because the big fish can't find them.
Right.
And so, therefore, your fish will migrate to the muddy water. Water on the Tennessee River right now is 56, 57 degrees, so it's really cooled off. Smith Lake's 58, 59. It was 60 the other day when I was there. But it is getting cooler. These colder nights, this week's even going to cool off even more. So it's fixing to be winter fishing.
Okay. With it being all the rain we had and it made the lakes and the rivers muddy, does that change your ability to catch largemouth more than spots, or spots more than largemouth, or does it not matter to either
around
species?
Around here, it don't matter a whole lot.
Okay.
Your largemouth will get up there a little bit more shallow than what they've been being, simply because the water's muddy and it's holding more bait. So does it make a largemouth easier to catch? Maybe easier to catch than they were. Are they easier to catch than the spots? No, not really. I mean, I had a trip last Wednesday, and we had a great day for spots on Smith. Matter of fact, one of the better spotted bass days, big fish days I've had in several years.
Oh.
So
with some, you were taking somebody fishing?
A 7-year-old and his father from Florida.
Oh, man.
And,
they're hooked.
They weren't very proficient at throwing the bait casters, but they were okay.
Yeah.
And they were able to catch some good ones, but I caught 6 over 4-pound spots.
Wow.
You know, that's usually a fish story.
Wow.
And I've lied less than that before.
Yeah.
But, hey, it was one of those days where everything that bit was a really good fish.
Right. And I'm sure they'll hooked too, they'll be back for some more of that.
They've already booked two springtime trips, so they wanted to come back when it's a little warmer,
right?
And catch some topwater. We did caught a few topwater fish. So,
okay.
Topwater and spoons on Smith Lake, can't beat it right now.
I got you. Okay, question: water really muddy? Do I need to change what I'm fishing? Lures I'm fishing?
You just need to go a little bit bigger.
A little bigger.
A little bulk. If you're fishing really muddy water, go to a little bulkier bait. It has a bigger presentation, throws off a bigger shadow, a little more vibration.
So it doesn't matter whether you're at the river or you're at Smith or wherever you are.
You can upsize your bait in the muddier water.
Right.
Just, like I said, just a bigger presentation, let them see a little bit more.
Yeah. Now, Rich, before we came on the radio, you said that, I guess yesterday, you were up fishing around the dam at Wilson and just loaded the boat. Not necessarily the fish you were going to catch, but you loaded.
We did not put a fish in the boat, but we got about 50 of them
to the side
of the boat because they were a big old nasty drum, and it was every single cast, you at least got a bite if you didn't catch a fish, and we went through a dozen spinner baits, 2 dozen swim bait. It didn't matter what you threw out there. You throw it out, you let the current
take
it about 10 feet, and when it hit a rock, hang on. It was amazing. I'd never seen a group of drum that tight before. And I told my buddy, I said, listen, I said, these are fun. I said, my arm hurts. We got to move.
Right.
But
oh, my goodness. And you said about 50 you caught?
At least
50 drums.
I'm talking on 2-pounders. These were anywhere from 12 to 20s.
Oh, my goodness.
Had a couple of, had one big striper that actually come off, probably a 25-pound stripe.
Wow.
Come off before I could land him. But the bass weren't in there. They should have been.
Right.
I think they just probably got tired of the drum ramming in their sides, and they just kind of moved off to the side and got out of their way and went somewhere else.
Right.
But there had to be thousands of drum in this one hole.
Unbelievable.
Like I said, it's fun, but it's not what you're after.
Yeah, exactly. You don't set out to go and drive an hour and a half to catch drum.
Right.
So, hey, Rich, tell us a couple of things. I'm sure, are you bowling?
I'm headed that way.
Okay, we'll let you go then. I got one more thing I want to touch base with you. You were talking about fishing below the dam, and they were pulling a lot of current, a lot of water. If you're kind of a novice to fishing, what do you need to do? Number one, probably stay away from the dam. What do you need to do to stay safe, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Stay out of the turbulent water. I mean, do we get all the way up there, right? Yeah, we do. But we do it all the time.
Yeah, you know how to do it.
When I run those turbines, like they were running 105,000 yesterday, and for people that don't know what that is, that's a whole lot of water.
Uh-huh.
All right. Usually I look for 45,000 as a whole lot of water. 105 is already a whole lot of water. Plus they had 12 spillways lowered, or raised actually. And so you had 12 spillways dumping twice that much water. And so the amount of water was unreal. And it is very dangerous. If you fall in that current, which the law says you got to have your life jacket on,
sure,
that close, but somebody's going to have to crank up to go catch you.
Right.
So, yeah, you got to be safe. Never anchor, because that water could rise on you at any moment. Never anchor out in that kind of swift water. But and be careful. If you get too close to those seawalls, what we call breaker walls, even though water's rolling around it, it's also sucking water back in the opposite way, and you can get sucked right into that stuff in a heartbeat. So it is dangerous. All you got to do is be careful.
That's it. Kind of, if you don't know what you're doing, stay away from it.
Stay down past power lines.
Exactly. Stay away from it. Hey, Rex, thanks, man, for coming in and spending a little time with us. I know you got to go bowling. Let me say this before you go. I saw your picture in the paper. I think it was yesterday or the day before. They had a picture in you and one of the other officers who was retiring. I think it said that you had 25 years of service, and I don't know how much the other gentleman had, but let me just say from myself, Jason, and really all of Coleman, how much we appreciate the years of service that you put in doing what you're doing, putting your life on the line every day for people like me, and we just greatly respect you and appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate that. I did put my 25 in, and I always said I'd probably go when I got my time in.
Yeah.
Most everybody says that, but they don't stick to it. I think I'm probably the first or second one just to leave when I got their time in. But that was Captain Lou Bradford was the other one. He had like 34 plus 30 years.
Something.
Yeah. I'm still young considerably.
Yeah.
And I got things I want to do. So
exactly.
I decided it was time to leave. And the way the world's going, I don't like its direction.
Absolutely.
And I'm not too PC. So I don't fit in too well anymore.
Right,
so
I
said it's time to go.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. We live in a great town, and our police department is one of those reasons it is such a great town.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, Brett, thanks for stopping by. But more than that, thanks for your years of service protecting folks like me.
Appreciate it.
That's Rex Chambers. Hey, before Rex goes, Rex, if somebody wants to book a trip with you, how do they find you?
Just find me on Facebook. It's the easiest way, Rex Chambers Fishing, or still haven't got the new website up and running yet, but it will be smithlakebass.com.
I got you. I think my oldest son is he's wanting to hook up with you and you take him fishing, so he's hooked.
We can always arrange that.
I hear you. Thanks, Rex. We appreciate it, buddy.
Have a good one.
Hey, it is 5:45, 15 minutes till 6. Stay with us here on Sports Talk Live, 95.5.
Aaron New Center, I mean, G. Norvell, a Florence man sentenced to 3 years in prison after being accused of assaulting two men with a nail-spiked piece of lumber during an argument over hot dogs. 66-year-old George Weekly Rhodes Jr. drinking alcohol with two men when one of them refused to share hot dogs with the others, and an argument ensued. Investigators say Rhodes injured the two men with a piece of lumber with a nail in it. Both were hospitalized, later released. Rhodes previously served time for manslaughter. An Etowah County man charged with felony domestic violence, 25-year-old Philip Davenport of Boaz, accused of causing serious physical harm to a woman. Authorities say he slammed her head into the side of a truck and threw her on the ground. The victim has been treated for her injuries. 2-year-old twins in Mobile County are safe back at home. Abby and Zoe Edwards disappeared after they were put down for a nap in their home in Grand Bay. They were found about a mile away by helicopter with the family dog. Foul play not suspected in the girls' disappearance. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
A man suspected of opening fire along I-5920 in Tuscaloosa County in January of last year and killing a man is now behind bars. 28-year-old Michael Antonio Williams charged with capital murder in the death of 40-year-old Frederick Bailey. He was apparently shot after the vehicle he was in collided with one Williams and another man were in that had been racing each other down the interstate. The other man, Roderick Washington Jr., also charged with capital murder. An illegal immigrant charged with sexually abusing a child, Shelby County authorities say 47-year-old Carlos Enrique Palma of Chelsea engaged in deviant sexual acts with a child under the age of 12 for 8 years. He's in the county lockup with bond set at $180,000. Etowah County Sheriff's Office looking for a man for outstanding warrants. 58-year-old Barry Keith Drenner wanted for failure to pay on a conviction of theft by deception. He owes more than $128,000. He's also a person of interest with other agencies in recent theft-related cases. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN. In money news, Honda's Talladega County Auto Assembly Plant contributed over $6 billion to Alabama's economy last year, according to a study issued by the Economic Development Partnership of Alabama. Along with its suppliers, the Japanese automaker was also responsible for more than 43,000 jobs in our state. AL.com reports the EDPA President Bill Taylor says the results underscore the company's importance to economic development in Alabama. Publix is opening another location in Vestavia Hills. It's part of a mixed-use Patchwork Farms development. A public spokesperson declining to confirm the store's opening, but a sign near the intersection of Healthy Way and Cahaba River Road reads, now leasing Publix Anchored Center. Publix has 61 stores in Alabama, as well as several new stores slated to open, including in downtown Birmingham, Troy, and Muscle Shoals. Baldwin County Association of Realtors reports October median sales price in that county rose 8% over the same period last year. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
The time, 548, episode edition number what? I wonder how many we do have. You got any idea, Jay?
75.
Yeah, I don't know. You used to keep up with it.
We used to say, you know, episode or number, whatever, you know. But we didn't do that very long, so we don't keep up with it anymore.
We couldn't count that high.
We make it up. Nobody knows the difference.
Episode number 137.
This month, this month alone.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm kind of waiting around. Eddie, old number 22, has been dying to call. And
diehard Alabama fan.
Yeah, get his 2 cents in on the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
And we'll give him a couple of more minutes, and then we'll start our picks.
Well, he may have gone to the store to get some more milk.
He's needing some cereal.
Yeah, so. I'm sure he is. Hey, did you watch the North Carolina-Maryland basketball game of the night?
I
know
did.
You said you were going
yes.
to.
Yes. Did you watch?
I saw most of it. Didn't see all of it. Two good basketball teams.
If those teams play like they played the other night, they're going to be hard to handle.
Two good basketball teams. I was looking at those, and I was thinking, Alabama and Auburn don't quite resemble that yet.
No.
Or ever will. But, hey, give Bama. I know Auburn got a big win. I saw that. Was it Coastal Carolina?
Yeah, Coastal Carolina. Somebody.
Any win's a big win.
That's what I was going to
say. That's right. And, you know, Alabama was, they won their last two games against ranked opponents. They beat Wichita State, and then they turned around and beat Notre Dame. We talked about that last week, but, you know, and I said earlier that they wouldn't win 10 games this year, and then they end up beating two people that are ranked.
Would the real Alabama please stand up?
Absolutely. So, you know, give Avery Johnson credit. You know, he's got two wins against ranked opponents that Anthony Grant never got.
Do you remember that show, Randy? That is your trivia question for today. Where
I'm older than you, so
where they would get to the end of the show, and they would say, like, with the real Ronnie Barnes,
stand up. I don't remember the name of the show.
And then they would act like they were going to stand up, and then one of them would finally stand up.
Yeah, I remember the show. I was pretty young at that, I think.
The name of the show, I think, now, was it not To Tell the Truth?
Well, I think that's the name of a show.
I think that's
that it.
Yeah, I think that's it. They would start out and tell a little bit about whatever they had done.
Yeah.
All right, Eddie, you're about to run out of time.
Absolutely. We got to do our picks.
People are dying for this.
Absolutely. We got to give people time to get off the roads and get their pens and paper out because we don't want to cause any unforeseen accidents.
Go ahead and give everybody our standard warning running, then we'll start our
picks. Well, we're going to give our picks for the championship series games. So just giving you a heads up, you need to pull on off the road, get in a safe area, you know, maybe turn your flashing lights on and get your pen and paper out so you can write down what our picks are. Because we're just excellent at this, and it's all statistically based. Our picks are so, they're just next to perfect normally. So that's just a public safety warning.
All right, there it is, and we'll give everybody about 5-10 more seconds, and then we're going to start it. And we'd already put our computers up, so I hope we can remember the game. We know the main ones. So.
That's right. I put mine up.
So, uh-oh, the phone is ringing.
We may not make picks.
Right. Let's go ahead and do our main one. I'm going to say Alabama wins, and we'll cover the spread.
I agree.
I'm going to say Michigan State wins over Iowa.
I agree.
I'm going to say North Carolina beats Clemson.
I disagree. I say Clemson wins.
And who else we got?
Temple and Houston.
Houston. I say Houston wins that one.
I agree with you there.
All right. There you got it, folks. Put that money down.
That's exactly right.
All right. Back to Eddie. Eddie, we've got about 7-8 minutes. Going to give you free reign.
I got
take
about 6 glasses of milk.
I hear you. Take off with it.
Well, you said you wanted to talk about Alabama-Auburn.
Hey, Eddie, what did you think about the game? All seriousness, what did you take away from the game?
I thought Alabama made good adjustments at halftime. Jason texted me at halftime. He goes, where did this come from? I go, it's misdirection, what he needs to be doing. Like, why didn't he do it all year? I go, I don't know.
Well, I think Auburn did a good job early. They kind of got Bama, if you want to say, on their heels.
They did. Punched us in the mouth. Gus and Lane Kiffin are a lot alike. They don't get out there and they find something that works, they out-cute themselves, and they end up shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
And that's Gus's bigger problem than most. They're offensive geniuses, but, they just they can't handle that something's actually working. I need to be more creative.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly right.
It's nuts.
What did you think about Auburn defensively?
Well, he's about to leave, right?
I was going to ask you, what do you think is coming up with Muschamp?
I think he's going. I don't know if they're going to give him a South Carolina job because they want something more proven.
Yeah.
He's either going to Georgia, and there's a report out he's looking at Bama.
Oh, that's a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll bet you a steak dinner he don't go to Bama.
No, I don't want to bet it because I think he's going to go to Georgia with Kirby.
And Muschamp, that would be a better job for Muschamp, and Muschamp might be interested in it if offered. I just don't think Alabama will offer it to Muschamp.
I think Nick Saban loves Muschamp, but I think they're probably going to go with their defensive back coach, would be my guess, by the guess at it.
And is that the guy that came in from the NFL?
Yeah, he came in from the Bears, defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and he's done a fine job with that secondary, too.
Yeah, he has. When I saw he took the secondary coach, looked at his pedigree, I'm like, man, this guy must have really screwed up. Which the Bears had a bad season as last year there defensively, but, that's a lot to do with the general manager as well.
Right, exactly.
And injuries in the pro game.
Absolutely. Hey, Eddie, how much leeway do you think Auburn is going to give Gus? And I say that to say this. When I was watching the football game, it just did not even seem – and I'm not trying to insult Auburn folks. It just didn't even seem comparatively close. Just pure talent that Alabama had on the field matched up with the talent that Auburn right now has.
Before you answer, Eddie, let me ask Ronnie this. Has it appeared that way in any game this year?
Well, we don't watch those games, Jason.
No, I'm talking about any game Alabama has played. It's the same thing. Alabama is heads and shoulders above everybody else.
To a degree, there are some positions on other teams that may be as good or better than Bama's, but I didn't see any of those in the Auburn game, whether it be on defense or offensive side.
Here's the deal. Jason, what did I tell you before the season started?
Oh, you told me a lot, Eddie. I don't remember.
About Gus?
I don't know.
When I told you he'd be on the hot seat in the year, be fired at the end of next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I told everybody to listen to that story, and they think I'm crazy, and I still believe it. So, Jason, I have a question for you. If Muschamp leaves, who's going to take the chance of coming to that program for possibly a one-year job?
I don't know. They'll find somebody.
Linebacker coach?
I have no idea, Eddie, but I don't think...
If Muschamp leaves, this is going to cause Gus's gout. I'm just telling you. Muschamp leaves because no one in their right mind that's a good defense coordinator will come in there knowing they're on the hot seat as soon as they get there.
Yeah, good point. But I think Auburn will give Malzahn 2 years from 2 years next year.
You
one
told
more.
Me you were about to jump out the exit door now.
Hey, but I don't call no any reason. Shots at Auburn.
I mean, you texted me at halftime of the game, going, "Where did this come from? Why have we
right.
done this?"
And that's what I
said. You're on the bus. I go. You go. Yeah, but I'm about to jump out the door.
No, I said I was getting close to an exit row.
You know. Hey, brother, I'm with you. I hate that you had to deal with something like this. You know, it's terrible to have somebody run 46 times against you because you suck so bad and break all kind of dang records that have never been broke before now. I hate that for you. It really upsets me.
Hey, Eddie, sure enough, if Auburn were to, let's just say they go 6-6 or they go, you know,
they're going 6-6 or 7-6, 6-7-6. But go ahead.
Yeah, if their record next year is within a game or two of what is this year, does Gus survive it?
No. Gus will have to win 9-10 games next year to survive it, and without a defensive coordinator, he's not going to do it. He might can promote Lance up there, Lance Thompson, yeah. Whatever his name is. But yeah, not going to happen.
All right, moving on to let's go to Alabama. Let's go to Alabama, Florida. Who wins?
Alabama 17.
Alabama by 17. All right, Alabama has to play in the semifinal. We'll just throw this one out. They have to play Oklahoma. Who wins that?
No, Bama, because we don't know what Oklahoma's got. So I've got to go with Bama I live in the Big 12 state
yeah,
now,
right.
Even though I'm on the East Coast.
Right.
So I have to pay more attention to it. But
sure.
There's no defense at all in the Big 12. I mean, Oklahoma uh-huh. State's giving up 50 to Texas Tech.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
Right. Okay. All right. Alabama's now in the national championship. Who are they playing?
I'm going to say Michigan State, if that's the case.
Michigan State. All right. Alabama, Michigan State. Who wins the national championship?
Bama.
How much?
10.
There you go.
Did anybody think that story would work out any different than it did? time for us to say goodnight.
Bobby knows I'm not going to pick against Bama.
I know. That's why I went through that series of questions for you, Eddie.
But let me ask you this question.
Hey, Eddie, we've got to say goodnight.
No, one question.
One question.
And I believe this is going to happen. If Alabama ends up 2 and Oklahoma ends up 3, they're going to separate them to make sure one's one.
Yep.
They're going to make sure one's 1, one's 2 or 3 because they don't want them to play in the first round.
Right.
Hope to God they make it to the final.
That's exactly right. We talked about that earlier, that they would swap, maybe move Bama 1 and Clemson 2 so they wouldn't play till the final game.
Everybody last year wanted Florida State Bama in the finals.
Right.
One of them, maybe.
That's it. I agree with you, Eddie.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Hey, be careful. Be safe, Eddie.
All right.
Jason, all right.
Facebook.
That's it.
All right. See you, Eddie. All right. It is 6 o'clock, straight up on the nose.
Eddie got us in overtime.
He got us in overtime. Exactly right.
It's been overtime for an Alabama fan.
Oh, what about that?
All right. Sports Talk Live next week, folks, going to one day per week. It'll be a week from today. We'll be back on the air, and we'll be talking about what did or didn't happen over the weekend.
That's
and
right. We'll either be cheering or crying if you're an
right.
Alabama fan.
And we'll be doing both in here, either way.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Until next Thursday, thanks for joining us. Be with us then. Get to see hear the regular guest on Thursday, so be sure to join us. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman Runny, a big war eagle.
And a big old Roll Tide.
broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Cullman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP, Cullman.